as Paul draws his epistle to a conclusion, we're going to be looking at one verse in the Word of God this evening. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." Here we find Paul giving some parting words to the church at Corinth. Words that are not the words of the Apostle Paul, so to speak, although they were written by him, but words that are from God, given through Paul. And as believers tonight, we would do well to follow the example of the Thessalonian church, who Paul wrote, they received his words not as the words of men, but as the Word of God. And this evening, as we look at this verse of Scripture, may we be reminded that these are not just words of any old book, but these are the words of God and commands that are given by God. It says here, be perfect. Now this word here, be perfect, we find it translated in Mark chapter 1. And verse 19, it's referring to the disciples, and it talks about how the disciples were mending their nets. They were perfecting their nets. You know, there was a problem with them. Maybe they needed some strengthening. Maybe there were some holes in there. The disciples are perfecting. They're mending their nets. In the book of Hebrews, we find that it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. They were perfectly set in order. That's the word here for be perfect. The worlds were framed. They were perfectly set in order. So as we find this command here to be perfect, the Corinthian church had some issues. They had some places that needed strengthening. They had some things that needed to be set in order. They had maybe some holes in the church that needed some fixing. And the Apostle Paul says, be perfect. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, let us lay aside the sin that doth what? So easily beset us. Sometimes in our lives, there's things that maybe it's a besetting sin. Maybe it's something else that creeps into our lives, into your life, and it's something that you become accustomed to. And after a while, you might think, you know what? I'm going to accept myself the way I am. You know, but the Bible says, be perfect. We need to take those areas that need strengthening, and we need to address them. We need to see those things set in order. We need to allow ourselves to be perfected by the Word of God. There were some issues here at Corinth that needed correcting, and the church needed to be perfected. The believers needed to be perfected. You know, this is something that we are to do. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Do you believe tonight that that area in your life that needs to be set in order? Maybe your nets, so to speak, need to be mended. Maybe there's an area in your family that needs to be mended, that needs to be put back together. And you believe that the one who has called you to put that back together will enable you to do it. The Bible says, be perfect. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1 uses this word, and it's translated as restore. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. this evening, is there some restoration that needs to take place in your life? Don't become accustomed to it. Don't allow sin to enter your life and then you say, well, there's just no help for me. Well, no, God wants you to have victory in that area of your life. He wants you to get victory. He wants you to walk with Him. And we are to be perfect. You know, maybe it's somebody you just can't get along with. The Bible says, be perfect. You need to get that net mended. You need to get that hole fixed before it gets bigger. Be perfect. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's dad as a spiritual leader. It needs some fixing. Needs some mending. Maybe it's mom, that supporting role that needs to take place instead of a supplanting role that's taking place. Maybe tonight your nets need some mending. They need some perfecting before you lose some fish. Be perfect. But then he says, the Word of God says, be of good comfort. You might say, you know what? There's no way. There's no hope for me. I just don't see how I can get victory. I just don't see how these things can get taken care of. You know, maybe there was somebody in the church of Corinth that I just can't get along with that person. There's just no way. I've tried for years. They just don't ever change. Well, we need to be encouraged. We need to be exhorted. We need to realize that, you know what, there is encouragement. Our lives have been changed by the gospel. And in the gospel of Christ, there is encouragement that, yes, we can, with God's grace, change. We need to be encouraged. God wants you to be encouraged this evening. There's a couple ways that He has provided for you to be encouraged. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. It says, I'll begin in verse 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So it says, exhort one another daily. One way that we can be encouraged is by other believers. You know, as another believer, we have the duty to exhort one another. You know, I have to confess myself, it's something that I need to work on. We need to exhort one another. Why? Because others can be easily hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Reading the story of a man, and he was in a weak church. He had been saved, and he was in a weak church, and he couldn't understand how, you know, he maybe get together for a fellowship. And it's the book about Larry Vaughn, the real story. And there's people, he'd go to these church fellowships, and the people at the church fellowships wanted to talk about the same things that the people in the movie industry wanted to talk about. And there wasn't that encouragement, that exhorting, or that talking. I think he's making the point, they weren't talking about the Lord, the spiritual things. Are we exhorting one another? We live in a world of sin. And believers need to be exhorting one another. The purpose, Hebrews 10:25 speaks of this as well. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You say, you know what, I need some encouragement in my life. But you're missing church. Well, God's provided an avenue for you to be exhorted, for you to be encouraged, for you to be uplifted in your Christian life. Don't forsake that opportunity. You say, I need encouragement. But you're missing church. We need to get to church. Maybe you are coming to church. Maybe there's opportunities that you have to encourage others. Take those opportunities. God's people need to be of good comfort. 2 Timothy chapter 4 gives us another area, another way that we can be exhorted, that we can be encouraged, that we can be of good comfort. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We find that the preaching of the Word of God is something that can encourage us, that we can be exhorted to go forward in our Christian lives. Are you taking that opportunity? Are you taking the time, the opportunities that you are given to be under the preaching of God's Word so that you can be exhorted, so that you can be encouraged in the faith? All of us need encouragement. We need that encouragement. And God has provided opportunities for us to be encouraged. God wants us to take opportunities to encourage one another. We are to be of good comfort. Then we find another word of command here in 2 Corinthians. He says, be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be encouraged. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Then he says, be of one mind. Being of one mind. The Word of God has some verses about being of one mind. I'd like to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, as we look at being of one mind. Philippians 2 and verse 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. As believers, we have the same foundation. We have the same Savior. And he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And what does it say? What's one of the aspects of being of the same mind? He says, having the same what? Having the same love. You know, as believers, if we are going to have the same mind, if we're going to have the same thinking, what is it going to take? Well, it's going to take the same love. Requires the same love. God wants a church that is united in its love for souls. You know, you have a church that's united in its love for souls. That's going to enable and help a church to what? Have the same mind. You know, but if you have one half the church that wants to spend time, that wants to that has a heart for souls, another half of the church that doesn't, you're going to run into what? You're going to run into problems. You're not going to have the same mind. A church that is united in its love, having the same love. I wonder tonight, what is your love? We're to have the same mind as a church. And if we're going to have the same mind, it requires that we have the same love. Do we have that same love? How is it evidenced in your life? What kind of a love do you have? The Bible says having the same love. It says being of one accord. You know, are we united in our spirit? You know, sometimes you might have the same love for something, but there still could be issues that arise. Maybe you love helping out at Kids Club, and maybe there's couple different people, and one says, you know, I really think Kids Club should start at 5:30, and another says, you know what, I really think it should start at 6, because if we start at 5:30, kids aren't going to be able to eat supper and get there at 6 o'clock. And others say, well, if you start at 6 o'clock, then there's not enough time, you know, then you're giving them even more time to start doing something else after school. And I really think it needs to start at 5:30. And somebody else says, oh, you're all wrong. We need to start at 6:30. You know, you could have, you know, all, and that's maybe a silly illustration, but we can sometimes get all uptight about something that really maybe doesn't have a huge importance. Maybe the time that it should start. Yeah, and there maybe are some reasons why it should start at a certain time, but, you know, we need to be of one accord. Sometimes we need to be willing to set aside ourselves so that the Lord Jesus Christ can be uplifted and so the ministry can go forward. You know, like the old adage goes, too many cooks spoil the broth. And you have too many people trying to say what should happen, and everyone thinks that their opinion is the most important. It's hard to get things accomplished. And the Bible says we need to be of one mind. You know, it requires selflessness. It says in verse number 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, if we're going to have the same mind, if we're going to have the same focus, the same love, we're going to be united in our purpose, we're going to be united in our thinking, it's going to require what? Self has to be put on the back burner. Self needs to be put behind us. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Verse number 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Well, what do we need to be minded about? Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, is that the focus of your mind tonight? I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if we have a church that is united around verse number 14, that's the purpose of every person's life. That was the one mind of this church. Imagine what would take place. Be of one mind. You know, tonight, are you contributing to that? Seeing this church united in one mind? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The Lord wants His church to be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Now, do we have that focus? Are we striving together to see the Lord Jesus Christ uplifted in this church? Are we striving together to see the gospel go forth? Is that the purpose of your life tonight, to see God glorified? Are you of one mind? Are you contributing to this church being of one mind? Or has your self, has your life gotten in the way? It requires selflessness. It requires the same purpose. What is your purpose tonight? In Philippians 4, 2, verse 2, it says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the what? The same mind in the Lord. You say, you know what? I just don't get along with that person. Are you of the same mind? Are you willing to unite around the truth of God's Word? Be of the same mind. But then the next verse says to live, the same verse, the next command here says, live in peace. Live in peace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, what does it say? It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, are you allowing the peace of God to rule in your life? Are you allowing the peace of God to rule in your relationships? Are you allowing the peace of God to rule in your home? Young person, are you letting the peace of God rule in your relationships with your brothers and sisters, with your friends at school? You know, the peace of God needs to call the shots, so to speak, needs to umpire in our lives, needs to dictate the decisions that we make in our reactions to other people. We are to live in peace with one another. There is to be that Christian love that is to be displayed with one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love one towards another. Are we displaying that same love that Christ displayed to us in our relationships with other believers? The Bible says we are to live in peace. You know, if there's something that we just can't stand in somebody else, there's something we just can't, somebody we just can't seem to get along with, we have an issue with the Lord. The Bible says to live in peace. In James chapter 3, in verse number 16, the Bible says, for where envying and strife is, there is what? There is confusion and every evil work. We are to live in peace. The wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable. Gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What is your life characterized? The Bible says where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion. There's every evil work. You know, are our lives confusing? Because they're supposed to be characterized, they're supposed to be ruled by the peace of God. But yet there's envying, there's strife, there's the self life coming out in us. The Bible says to live in peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, it says, and be at peace among yourselves. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 50 states, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? He says, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. You know, when there is not that peace characterizing our relationships, the devil is going to get an inroad, and his work is going to be accomplished rather than God. The Bible says, and let the peace of who? The peace of God rule in your heart. Are you allowing God's peace to rule in your life tonight? You know, the encouraging aspect of this verse is, as you allow the peace of God, as you live in peace, notice what it says. It says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Notice that. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know, you wonder why God's presence doesn't seem to be in your home. Well, you know what? You need to create an environment that the God of peace can dwell in. You know, you might be seeking, you might be praying for God's peace in your home. Well, God says, live in peace. And the God of peace shall be with you. Go over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Philippians 4 and verse 9. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Now what does it say? And the God of peace shall be with you. Do you want God's presence in your life in a special way? What needs to happen? Well, you need to submit yourself to God. You need to create an environment that God wants to be in. You know, that's one of the problems with so many of the churches now, so many churches nowadays. They're creating a man-centered environment so that many men want to come and be there. But the problem is that God wants to have no part with it. And in your life, in your family, are you creating an environment in which God wants to be there? It says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, says, and the God of peace shall be with you. He says, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall what? Shall be with you. Would you rather have your own selfish ambition, your own selfish ways? Would you rather have things your way, or would you rather have the presence of God in your home? Would you rather have the presence of God in your life? What a promise that we have in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, earlier in the book of 2 Corinthians, verses 17 and 18, it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The special presence of God for those that will what? Separate themselves from the filth of this world and will separate themselves unto God. You know, Revelation chapter 3, what's happening at the church of Laodicea? We find the Lord standing outside. And he tells them to repent, to remember their first works, to be zealous therefore and repent. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord Jesus Christ is outside waiting for someone to open the door and to have that communion with Him. But they have to what? They have to open the door. They have to repent. They need to create the environment that the Lord Jesus Christ can come into. I wonder tonight, what is the environment of your home? What is the environment of your heart? In Ezekiel, we find that the Israelites had polluted the temple. They had invited sin in. The place, the Holy of Holies, the place where the special presence of God was to be. The temple, God's dwelling place in a special way. But they had what? They had defiled it. And God's presence, His glory, left. Why? Because of sin. And I wonder tonight, if you're saved, obviously God's presence is going to be with you. But the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And that special presence of God, it says, the God of peace shall be with you. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice what it says here. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, it says, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, this evening, are you striving to know the love of Christ? You know, as we understand, as we, obviously, we can't fully comprehend it. because it's so great. But as the love of Christ begins to take a hold of our lives and we begin to understand it, what does it say? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what? It's going to change our lives. And this evening, you know, you can sit there and you can pray for God's presence to be in your life, but then you can leave that prayer time and you can live your life the way you want it to, the way you want to, but don't expect God's presence to be in your life in a special way when you aren't obeying Him. Don't expect the peace of God to envelope your home when you're not allowing the peace of God to rule in your home. The Bible says, live in peace. It says, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. I wonder tonight, are you willing to set aside your way so that God can have His way in your life? Are you willing to set aside your own ambitions, your own lack of love for lost souls? Are you willing to set aside the things that are near and dear to your heart so that God can have His way in your life? And so that the God of love and peace can be there. You know, we want that presence of God, so to speak. And we know that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's there. But the Bible here is speaking, the God of love and peace shall be with you. Do we want that God of peace to be controlling our lives? Do we want that understanding of His presence that is there? I'm sure you've probably been in situations. You know, you walk into a church where the music is going in such a way, what does it do? Well, it probably grieves your heart, doesn't it? But then you go into a church that's, you can tell the worship of God is taking place. The Lord Jesus Christ is being honored and uplifted. And it's encouraging. It brings encouragement to your life. Do we want that to take place? In this church, we're going to have to what? Submit ourselves to God. Are we creating an environment that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we have an environment in our church, in our homes, in our lives that is grieving to the Spirit of God? I wonder tonight, what needs to change in your life? What needs to be perfected? Do you need to allow yourself to be encouraged? You've been living a discouraged life. But tonight, God wants you to be encouraged to go forward. Do you need to be of one mind? Have you been pushing for your way instead of submitting to God's way? And has the peace of God been ruling in your life? You know, it is important. You know, those little things, those little arguments you think aren't that, you know, they're kind of small, doesn't really matter. What does God say about them? He says, live in peace. God is a God of peace. And He wants our lives to be characterized by His peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, we pray that as we have looked at these instructions from Your word tonight, that we would realize that these are not man's instructions, but these are Your instructions. And we know, Lord, that you want to be honored and glorified through this church. Lord, if you are going to be honored and glorified in this church, Lord, then these things need to characterize our lives. Lord, if we want this church to direct people's attention to you, then, Lord, these things must characterize this church. Lord, if we want our daily lives to point people to Jesus Christ, then these things must be in them. Lord, I pray tonight that you would reveal those things that are hindering this from taking place in each one of our own lives. And Lord, that we would see the high calling of God that is upon our lives. And we would be willing to set aside those things that are detracting us from that being fulfilled in our lives. Lord, may we long to be in your presence. May we long to be in an environment, Lord, that is pleasing in your sight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight, you know, these things can't be fulfilled in your life until the first step takes place, and that is salvation. And you have to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Not a religion, but it's a relationship with Christ that takes place when you're born again. And you say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord's working in my life tonight that I need to be saved. I need to turn to Jesus Christ tonight alone as my Savior. And the Lord is working in my life tonight about the fact that, you know, I don't know where I'm going to spend my eternity, but I would like to know. Is there anyone tonight that would say, you know, Lord is working in my life about my need of salvation? All right, then, believers, take a look at your life. In these areas, if the Lord was to step in our church tonight, obviously He's here spiritually, what would He think? How are you contributing to this church being of one mind? You know, is there an area that God is speaking to your heart tonight that you need to surrender to Him so that He can be honored and glorified in a greater way in your life? May you allow the Spirit of God to work in your life as He would want to tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would take your word and minister it to our hearts. Lord, may we leave here. May we meditate on the Word of God so that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.